right. Thanks again, everybody, for joining. I know it's getting late in the day, and there were a lot of good snacks to keep you there. I'm Haley Cash. I'm the NCD Regional Epidemiologist for the U.S. APIs, which I'll tell you more about that in a minute. I've been in this position about 3 years and was an epidemiologist in Palau for a couple years before that. So the Pacific's been my home for about the last 5 years. And today I'm going to talk to you about a new survey methodology that we're using out in the islands. So first of all, when I talk about the U.S.-affiliated Pacific Islands, this includes 3 territories and 3 freely associated states. So the 3 territories are Guam, the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, or CNMI, and did I say Guam, American Samoa? Okay. The 3 freely associated states are independent nations with compacts of free association with the United States, and these are the Federated States of Micronesia, Republic of the Marshall Islands, and the Republic of Palau. And within the Federated States of Micronesia, or FSM, there's actually 4 fairly unique states. So usually when we present information on the region, we consider there to be 9 jurisdictions, so just there's no confusion. In the little table off to your right, I've put the populations of all of these jurisdictions. So as you can see, they're all very small, very, very small populations. And altogether, our region has fewer than 500,000 people. Here's a map of all the different U.S. APIs. So 5 out of the 6 are in the North Pacific, just east of the Philippines. And as you can see, though we are one region, we're really spread out. So just those 6 jurisdictions alone are about the size of the continental United States. We also have American Samoa, who's kind of off on his own over here, in the South Pacific between Hawaii and New Zealand. So I mentioned before that I worked for PIHOA. So PIHOA is the Pacific Island Health Officers Association. It's a nonprofit organization that provides a regional voice for these jurisdictions, and it's actually made up of the health leadership from all 6 U.S. APIs, and they come together biannually to discuss issues in the region and come up with regional solutions. We have 3 offices, one in Honolulu, and that's where I'm based, and one in Guam and one in Palau. And we have a very small but hardworking group of technical staff who help help move forward with the plans that the health leadership come up with in the region. So in 2010, there was the PIHOA Board Resolution 4801. This declared a regional state of health emergency due to the epidemic of non-communicable diseases in the U.S.-affiliated Pacific Islands. This was due to the fact that throughout the Pacific, there's a really, really high burden of NCDs based on the limited data that we do have available. So they decided to actually declare it a state of health emergency. So through this resolution came the PIHOA NCD surveillance framework, and this was developed to guide NCD data collection in the region and to actually monitor progress of this, this emergency. And a major component of this framework was that there be an adult population-based survey conducted every 3 to 5 years in every jurisdiction. And survey would include a core set of indicators, which ideally includes physical and biochemical measurements. So prior to the development of the survey that I'm going to talk about today, these were the most recent surveys that had been conducted in each of the jurisdictions. Only 3 of the jurisdictions actually had a survey that was done in the last 5 years that contained that core set of indicators that PIHOA decided on. Three of the jurisdictions had done a survey in the last 5 years, but it wasn't a complete set of indicators. And then three had not had any survey in the last 5 years. And as you can see, a lot of them didn't even have a survey in the last decade. So when it comes to actually monitoring trends, fewer than half of the jurisdictions have had two surveys that are actually comparable. So in most of the region, we can't even compare trends to determine whether or not things are getting better or worse. So hopefully I've painted a pretty clear picture that, you know, this region has historically done a fairly poor job in data collection, and there's a lot of challenges around this. So again, our data are not being collected regularly. This has a lot to do with the fact that we, most of the jurisdictions don't have surveillance plans in place. And in the past, there's been a lot of inconsistent funding and support. So basically the way that surveys tend to happen in the region is that an outside partner comes in and says, hey, here's some funds, we want to do this survey, and that's how it gets done. But it doesn't start from the jurisdiction itself. It's not coming from their plan. It's coming from outsiders. The problem there is that data are inconsistently reported within the jurisdiction and then from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. So because we have various partners coming in with their standardized tools and frameworks, we end up with a lot of different indicators that are not comparable. So we can't compare within jurisdiction, and we can't compare from place to place. So it's been a real challenge. I showed you the populations of all the islands earlier. These are very small populations and with limited staff and staff capacity. So a lot of the folks working in the ministries and departments of health wear a lot of hats. They do a lot of jobs, and we don't have enough of a population to support, you know, one specific surveillance officer. A lot of the jurisdictions don't even have epidemiologists, so we're really lacking that support. In the past, there's been a lot of delays with data analysis after surveys have been conducted, and sometimes a lot of the jurisdictions have waited up to 10 years to get a STEPS report back. Or sometimes, you know, other partners don't ever give anything back to the jurisdiction. So it's been a real struggle. And then, of course, data ownership is a problem. When somebody else comes in and conducts a survey, they own those data, and it's nearly impossible to ever actually get a raw data set from those partners who have collected that information from your own jurisdiction. Then again, you know, there's also limited infrastructure, which is a challenge. Specifically when it comes to standardized tools like the BRFSS. So conducting a phone-based survey is really not feasible in most of the region, though I have to say that Guam does have a functional BRFSS, but they are definitely the most technologically advanced of the region. Again, these are small island nations. There's really limited resources, limited staff. So it becomes difficult to conduct, you know, different surveys for different partners like CDC, SAMHSA, WHO, and there's a real need to stretch resources. And then when it comes to using standardized tools and frameworks, this can be a challenge because they often leave out some culturally relevant issues. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of betel nut chewing, but it's a real big issue in our region. That often gets overlooked because it's not included on any kind of standard surveys. And generally, you know, when betel nut is chewed, it's chewed with tobacco, and we miss that even on a lot of tobacco surveys that have happened. So I'm going to shift focus to CNMI, which was the first pilot site for this NCD, what we call the hybrid survey. It's been a U.S. territory since 1978. It's a chain of 14 islands just north of Guam. The population's just 54,000, and most of the population resides on the three most populated islands of Saipan, Tinian, and Rota. It's a very ethnically diverse population. The indigenous populations are Chamorro and Carolinian, though nowadays about half the population is Asian, which is primarily Filipino. So this whole project started during my initial site visit back in December 2014, when I was validated that there was, in fact, no baseline NCD data in all of the CNMI. So we had no idea what the actual burden of NCDs was. There had been some attempts previously in the CNMI to conduct the CDC BRFSS and the WHO STEPS, but due to a lot of reasons, these either never made it off the ground, or they started never and never came to completion. They pretty much crashed and burned. So there was a real a lot of frustration within the NCD Bureau to get these data that they so desperately needed to apply for grants, whatnot. The NCD Bureau Director, Becky Robles, who's amazing, told me she had a lot of different funding sources that could potentially pay for a survey, but she didn't know how to put everything together, didn't know, you know, what survey tool to use, and couldn't pay for one partner's tool with another partner's funding, so it was very complicated. She also told me that there was an ongoing behavioral health survey that was taking place. This was a household survey being conducted every 2 years. So we started to think about how we could really get creative to build upon what was already in place and to conduct an NCD survey. So we decided to work together. We decided to pool our resources within the CNMI and also within our external funding and support partners. So we were able to develop a survey that was added onto the existing CNMI Behavioral Health Survey, but we were able to combine technical support, staff, supplies, equipment, and funding to all work together to collect all of the indicators that we needed using one tool. So we developed the actual survey itself using validated questions that were culturally adapted from existing surveillance tools. And a big focus was to develop locally developed show cards and protocols that were appropriate for the CNMI. So a key component in collecting our data was very thorough training that was conducted. A lot of these staff had never collected data or worked with a survey or even had a strong public health background, so there was a real need to make sure that all of the surveyors going out into the field had appropriate training. And here's just a few pictures from that training. So we determined our sample size based on the population of the three most populated islands, again, Saipan, Tinian, and Rota. We randomly selected households based on four levels of geographical strata, and then we selected one adult in each household using Kish methodology. The data were collected by our trained surveyors using a face-to-face survey, and we also collected physical and biochemical measurements in the participant's home. Data were entered, all collected on paper forms, then entered electronically, and standard data cleaning protocols were used, and we were able to analyze the data and develop a report within a very timely fashion. So here's our timeline. So in less than 2 years, we were able to have initial discussions about this project to the actual development of a usable, user-friendly report. And this even includes a very unexpected and devastating typhoon that hit right before we were originally supposed to start our survey. So we started our training in January of 2016, and by October we were able to have the report and conduct a dissemination workshop with local stakeholders. So we collected a total of 1,034 complete surveys. Our refusal rate was extremely low, so it was only at 3.5%, and this was because of all the great community support that we had for the project. So overall, we were able to survey about 2% of the adult population in the CNMI. I know this is really busy, and I apologize, but I wanted to give a really quick snapshot of the results. So there's the first column here had the prevalence of all of the different NCDs and risk factors that we looked at in the survey, and we were able to compare to the U.S. And as you can see from mostly red arrows, almost all of the indicators are statistically worse in the CNMI when compared to the U.S. So this is really indicative of the problem in the CNMI and the larger region, and really supports the need for us to be collecting information, monitoring information, and then developing programs based on this. So we feel like there were a lot of benefits to this hybrid survey. I know it kind of sounds like we stuck a bunch of surveys together, which is kind of what we did. but given the small island populations and the limited resources, it was actually it was a really big feat for us to make this happen. So now CNMI has an ongoing adult NCD surveillance system. We used local staff to complete the survey, and we really used this as an opportunity to build local capacity and empower those local staff to get this survey off the ground and to continue the momentum of the survey moving forward. A key part of this project was the data ownership piece. So the fact that now the CNMI have those data and they can actually use the raw data set and analyze those data is really huge, because not a lot of the region has that capability. From the timeline, I showed you that we had, you know, pretty quick data collection. The data collection itself only took 3 months, and there was a really quick turnaround to get those data disseminated. So that was also a benefit. Because we were able to customize the survey, and CNMI was able to own the survey and develop the survey with the help of their support partners, we felt like the data collected were really quality because of that training, but also because of that pride and ownership with the development of the survey. It was actually fairly amazing that we were able to collaborate as well as we did within CNMI and within all of the support partners. And we hoped that this could be a model for the rest of the Pacific, which it is happening. So our next steps are to obviously continue to use the data that we collected in the CNMI and provide ongoing technical assistance to the CNMI to be able to develop programs based on the data that they've collected. We've learned a lot from this pilot project, and we're moving forward in the other US APIs. So Palau actually finished a similar survey at the end of last year, and next month we will be training and beginning implementation in RMI or Marshall Islands and American Samoa, and then hopefully in 2018 we can get to FSM and expand upon the BRFSS in Guam. One of the things we're also trying to encourage is supporting peer learning and exchanges, so taking the folks that have worked on the survey in one jurisdiction and using them as the trainers and support for another. So we have those peer exchanges. And to, of course, continue to expand our collaborations within jurisdiction and within support partners and gain support for this collaborative model. So I've said it a million times, it's a collaborative project. There's a ton of people to thank, but here are some of the key players who really came to the table for the project. So I have a lot of gratitude for these people and millions of others. Maybe not millions, but a lot. So thank you for your time.